Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Good morning, NoCo. I am Tanner Schwint. That's Brian Gary in the Allo Communications Studios. This is I'm looking forward to this interview here with Chris Vanderveen, director of reporting. Director of special projects. He hasn't been the director of reporting for.
Do you want a pen? So yeah, you can that would write be great.
It's been like 3 months, and I had to mess it up once. Nonetheless, Chris, how are you on this Monday morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So,
I'm good too, Chris. Yeah, good to talk to you.
Has it been 3 months or 4 months? And this is the first time I've messed it up.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm a man of a million titles. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it.
All right, Chris. Well, and it's you wouldn't sweat it because apparently journalists are just making money hand over fist.
I know. It's good to know that. I went into a profession that pays everyone so massively early on. And continues to allow us to roll in cash as we age in our lives.
Where did this fiction come from? Where do I'm missing the origin of this because I know better.
Well, there's this idea. I think one of my really big pet peeves about people and how they look at journalism is when they look at journalism and they sort of look at what I call cable news pundits. That sort of like they're on TV all the time. They get to pontificate about all sorts of nonsense. And they're not really journalists. They're just out there to give their opinions about things. And then just cable news shows and the ridiculousness that we've talked about over and over again about national cable news and all that sort of ridiculousness. But when people equate local journalists, which are the vast majority of journalists in this country, with sort of the national types, they sort of like easily fall into this trap that like we're all the same. And I don't think people realize that local journalism in particular, does not pay particularly well, particularly early on. And there's a lot of people that are out there struggling with not a lot of money that they're making. And it's dangerous for people to sort of equate national journalism with local journalism because there's a lot of really good local journalism that's taking place. And those folks are they're not rolling in cash.
No, and listen, I'm not that far removed from graduating college and from the broadcast and journalism field, and I've got friends that are going to, you know, places in America that you don't want to go and live. Fargo is one of them.
Hey,
I know. I'm sorry, Brian, but they're making, you know, $20,000 a year to work weird long hours, holidays, things like that, and that's something that doesn't get thrown out there enough. And I just shake my head and say, good for you, because they have that fire burning in them to go and be a journalist. So whenever somebody comes out and says, well, yeah, they do it for the money, they're out of their mind.
No, but when you got that fire burning inside of you, you need to be able to afford the marshmallow to roast.
That's
on
right.
It. And that,
that is right. And Chris,
that's not easy to do.
I know you put out there, I think you tweeted out your first job page at $12,500 a year. Where was that at? Chris,
yeah,
can you hear
I used
me?
To work there too.
I think we lost him at some point,
but I can answer the questions for him if you would like. I've always enjoyed conducting
those. Where was Chris's first job
at? I believe it was at a small newspaper, somewhere in the southeast of the country.
I know he worked in Wyoming for a couple of years.
But people do get that misconception. I used to get it in radio all the time, and still do, where they think if you're in the public eye, if you work in public, that you make a lot of money.
Yeah,
and that is just not true. There are some who do.
Yeah.
There are some who do very, very well, but the majority are getting by on very small wages.
Yeah, I believe we've got Chris back up on the line. And Chris, I was just saying that, you know, I've got friends everywhere who just graduated and are making small amounts and working holidays and just weird hours. And you tweeted out that you made $12,500 your first year as a journalist. Where was that at, first of all?
It's been a little while. but two, it was in Casper, Wyoming. I was the when I got bumped up to weekend anchor, I was the anchor in the weekends, and I was making a sizzling $14,000 a year. I got bumped up a 1.5K, And it was
great.
But it was, you know, it's one of those things where I don't think people realize journalism is one of those fields that, as you mentioned, it requires people to move around the country, oftentimes in the small markets, where many, many miles away from home. And that's really difficult when you're 22, 23, 24 years old. And there's a lot of sacrifices that take place on behalf of journalists. And I think journalists need to do a better job. All of us need to do a better job of sort of explaining our stories, because this equation of us, because I think people think we cover national politics all the time. We don't. We almost never touch national politics. We cover inherently local things on a local level, and that's how we make our money, however small it may be at times.
Well, and you throw the money factor in there, but you also throw in, you know, the abuse that everybody takes on social media, which is now essential for journalists to have to break news, to gather news, things like that. And you're seeing, you know, some of the brightest and best journalists out there leaving the field. There was a very talented woman that I graduated college with that went on down in the Colorado Springs market. And she was there for a couple of years and moved on. And it shocked me when I saw that, because she had that fire. She had that passion to go and be, you know, a news person. And only a couple of years in, you know, she changed around and left the industry. And I don't know exactly why, but there's so many more factors working against good news people than there are working for them.
Yeah, I always tell younger reporters, it's like there's a million reasons to get out of this business, but find the one that's going to keep you in it. And I think that's good advice for people, just because there's so many things to sort of to keep you out and to make you discouraged and that type of thing. And then add on all of that, just sort of the abuse that I think a lot of journalists take. And this isn't a sort of a woe is journalism kind of talk, because I think sometimes journalism deserves it. But at the same time, there is a lot of abuse that really comes from people thinking that they know us simply because we're a journalist. And there's this assumption that, oh, I must be knee-deep in the Democratic Party, and that I must be hardcore left, and that all of my colleagues are hardcore left. And that, you know, there's just more complexity to who we all of us are. And nobody would want any – think about any job that your listeners are in, that are in right now. Think about any job. If you just sort of assume you know them based upon the job that they have, well, that's a pretty bad way of going about things and sort of trying to understand people.
Well, I think what we're seeing in this day and age is everybody in every occupation is feeling this kind of thing, because we're all in a society where the public is our judge on a daily basis on social media, and the public is abusive. So everybody's just feeling that's just the nature of society anymore. Everybody wants to beat everybody down. It's just the nature of the game. Unfortunately, that's where we're at as a society, and we need to do what we can to twist that individually each day with those we're around. Now, speaking of twisting, one thing that came twisting through here 14 years ago, I wanted to know your take on, Chris. Do you remember where you were when the tornado went through Windsor 14 years ago yesterday in 2008?
Oh, yeah. I was in Denver looking north, and you could see that really wicked storm that was forming just to the north of us. I remember I was out with a photographer by the name of Ken Mostek, and we were looking at he was a weather junkie, and we were looking up north and we said to ourselves, that doesn't look good. And then we had our crew up north in Fort Collins that got an incredible video of that tornado as it sort of crossed over I-25, and that was just a, you know, you say that it's been that many years and it's hard to believe it.
Yeah, it is.
But I also remember it vividly, because it was one of those things where we said to ourselves, a tornado like that we didn't think was possible that close to the mountains along the Front Range. And it happened. The way it moved was unusual. All the things about it were unusual. And the amount of destruction that it did, obviously, was unusual as well.
No question.
Well, and it's just one of those two, you know, we're talking about a lot of the, you know, the tough parts about journalism, but I feel like those are the redeeming moments when it is something that brings everybody together, and you get to be the voice of it. You get to be out there and sharing information and helping people. Those are the redeeming moments of journalism, and really as a society as a whole.
Well, and, you know, not to toot our own horn, but I think that's what television news takes a lot of heat for sort of being sort of concentrating on ridiculousness and that kind of thing. And sometimes I think it deserves it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what television news is really good at is immediacy and bringing people into what's happening right away, not just telling people through words and print, but also showing people what is going on. And I really like that aspect of television news. And you know, you talk about big weather events. This is, you know, we've had a lot of big weather events. This is Colorado. We tend to have a lot of big weather events around here.
No, it is, Chris. And the amount of snow that you guys got down in Denver, did you have to get the snow shovel back out, Chris?
Heck no. I live on the east side of Denver. And it was not a shovelable event. We just had to shake off a couple of trees.
Well, good, Chris. What do you got your eyes on coming this coming week?
Well, I got to tell you, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record here, and I know that this is the last thing that anybody wants to talk about. But at the same time, watch COVID. It's still going up in the state of Colorado, and I'm hearing more and more people that I know that are coming down with it. Not gone away. We're still in the middle of a bit of a wave. It's not going to be catastrophic. It's not going to send loads of people to the hospital. But it is going to be disruptive in your work environment and around people that you're around. And also, it can do a wonder in spoiling some summer vacation plans. So just keep it in mind moving forward that the virus is still quite active right now.
No, I think that's a good reminder as well. Chris, before I let you go, Avs and Blues tonight, who you got?
I just hope there's not like a police event on the ice.
Right.
It's getting nasty, and it'd be nice to just kind of, see how things go. But it'd be nice to bring this thing back to Colorado with a 3-1 advantage.
No, it would be for sure. And also, Chris, I know everybody knows you're a smart man, but way to stay off the Rockies bus. It's lonely on there with me right now, and it's troublesome times.
Well, what are we, two games under 500 right now? I mean, look, it's like, it's not the end of the world. It's just that it's not looking great. And the problem is that they're just in a division right now that it's just like there's so many good teams in that division that even if they were to catch fire for a little bit, like they'll still be like 30 games out of first place at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, you just led me on. I'm in here fist bumping. My producer Angel's fist bumping. And then you just brought us right back to reality, Chris.
Sorry. Sorry, I had to do it.
He's stupid journalist, man. No, I'm just kidding. Chris Vandermeer, Director of Special Projects. Chris, what do you got coming up? Where can people watch and stay tuned with what you got going on?
I'm working on those like top secret things that I can't talk about, a lot about, but I've got some really good stories that are coming up. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, we can't wait to talk about it. Chris, appreciate your time.
You bet.
Thanks. That's Chris Vandermeer, Director of Special Projects there. 7:51 the time. But again, that just goes back to your point, Brian, that 14 years ago yesterday, everybody remembers exactly. I mean, he listed off exactly who he was talking to this happened. And that's down in Denver. He was watching what was happening up north here. So that's what we want to know today with our Happy Life Gardens poll question. Where were you at 14 years ago yesterday when the Windsor tornado hit? Let us know on our J9 Agencies text line, 888-530-0043 on Facebook. At Good Morning NoCo. We'll get to some of your responses when we come back. It's Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.